This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا اله الا الله واللهم اجعلنا من الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر امين يا رب العالمين. Today's khutbah is centered around a single ayah, a part hopefully of that ayah. If we get time, then the entire ayah. This is the 29th ayah of Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah. And in this ayah, it's a change of subject. The beginning of this surah, a good part of it is focused on Allah's guidance about what happens when a person dies, as far as what they leave behind, their inheritance. So if a husband dies, or a father dies, or a mother dies, or a daughter dies, a child dies, who gets what? Inheritance law, right? So there's a lot of long discussion about the proportions that are supposed to be distributed among the people that are survived by the one who passes away. And after describing all of that in very vivid detail, Allah changes the subject to other money matters. So this portion of the Quran is important because Allah is giving us guidance about how to manage money and how to give people what they deserve. And so as that subject comes to an end, the first thing, as I opened, it's the closing of the first subject and the opening of the next. Allah says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. Allah intends to lighten the burden from you. Meaning He's giving you these rules and He's giving you these instructions not to make things harder for you. The purpose of them is to make your life easier. If you don't do this, then there are going to be fights in the family. There are going to be wars that break out. There are going to be generations hating each other. They took our house. They took, you know, that was my dad's car. This was this one. This was that one. And there are going to be animosities that are going to affect generations to come and create all kinds of evil. Allah wants to lift that burden of off of your shoulders and make everybody's life easier. That's why He's basically arbitrating and saying, لا تدرون أيهم أقرب لكم نفعا. You see, Allah says, your parents, your children, you don't know who deserves what. Like, you can't figure that out. Allah knows who deserves what. So He's basically being the neutral party, giving us instructions on how matters are supposed to be settled in what we leave behind. But after that, Allah says, He wants to lighten your burden for you. And human beings were made weak. So Allah is actually acknowledging or making us actually realize that we, when it comes to matters of money, can be very weak. And when it comes to giving people what they deserve, or feeling like we deserve more, can be very weak. So it's very, you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla describes to us that one of the things we have to protect ourselves from is shuh. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. People who, whoever's been protected from intense greed that lives inside themselves are very successful people. So Allah is telling us that greed is not a small problem. It's a very, very big problem. That we and that can make us biased. You can start thinking you deserve more than you actually deserve. Right? Or not give somebody else their right. That's something I can have and you can have. Or others can have it against us and take more from us than they deserve. Or take what they don't deserve at all. So in light of that, what Allah gives us is this profound, brief statement. This 29th ayah is not a long ayah. But the opening of it, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. He says, those of you who believe, do not eat your money among each other. Don't consume each other's wealth. لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Now that's commonly translated, don't consume each other's wealth using falsehood. That's how they commonly translate that. Don't consume each other's wealth using falsehood. But we're going to dig a little bit deeper today and try to understand what this phrase, what guidance this phrase contains practically for all of us. And I want to start with the translation of the word batil as falsehood. That's one of its meanings, but if you dig a little deeper into this word batil, batal in Arabic is used for wastage also. So, for example, if you say, you know, batala, ذَهَبَ ضِيَاعًا, like something that went to waste is also called batil. Something that had no purpose is also called batil, you know. So, you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla did not create the skies and the earth with batil, okay. Or abath, without a purpose. So that's one meaning, without purpose, and I'd like you to remember that. So, one meaning of that ayah can be, don't consume each other's wealth without a purpose, wastefully. That's one meaning. The second meaning, it also occurs in the meaning of lahu, for just entertaining yourselves, for just entertaining or distraction. Don't consume each other's money just to entertain yourselves or to distract. Now Allah is not talking about your money being spent by you. Allah is saying you spending someone else's money. That's what he's talking about here. أموالكم بينكم. لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم. And the third meaning, نقيد الحق, which is the opposite of حق. And حق doesn't just mean truth. Now the English translation says falsely. But it's more than falsely. It's unjustifiably, unfairly, what isn't your right and you're taking it anyway, or you're using lies, falsehood to take money. Those are all included. So let's go through these a little bit one by one. And I just want to, you know, the statement seems pretty straightforward, but when we start thinking about how it applies to my life and yours today, then maybe we don't think about how it's a living guidance that we may be ignoring. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla make us of those who live by this guidance. So the first thing is, don't consume each other's wealth wastefully. Now think about that. There are parents here that are providing for their children. And some of you mothers work, and some of you fathers work. And sometimes there's single family households where only one parent is working, or there's only one provider in the family, and they're making all the money for the entire family to survive. And if the children, as they're growing up, are used to just taking the parents' money and frivolously spending it on whatever they feel like, and have no regard for how that money is spent, because more is coming anyway, it's okay. Right? Or if one parent, now sometimes parents are not on the same page, so one parent is giving the kids open license to buy whatever they want. Right? And they're just going and spending however they want. I want that toy, okay, take it, I love you, just take it, it's okay. Your dad's got more money, it's okay. You know? I'll talk to him, I'll convince him. And you're building that habit. Now you're building a habit into a child to consume without purpose. As soon as they have a desire, they just buy it. And that's actually not a favor to any child. We're spoiling these kids. They don't know what it means to work hard and earn. They don't know what it means to labor and sweat and give up your sleep and be yelled at by an employer and deal with difficult customers working at a store or a gas station and then be able to earn a little bit of money, and that money just gets thrown away. Right? So part of our training to our children is to value how money is spent. Not just look at something and get it. You know? So that's part of لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل. The other meaning of it also, and I'm not just picking on children, but you know, sometimes we, you know, and I've seen this with my own eyes, and I wouldn't have commented on it if I hadn't seen it myself. Also include when, you know, and again, I saw this myself, which is why I'm commenting on it. You would have, you know, my parents we're not wealthy family, so I had to pay my own college tuition. And I could only take as many courses as I could afford. So sometimes I didn't take 12 credits or 16 credits. Sometimes I only took 2 classes because I don't have money for more courses. And I refused to go into debt. So I took a long time going through school, right? But I had friends whose parents paid for their tuition. And they were wealthier Muslim friends. But their parents are paying for their tuition. And they're going to much more expensive schools. And they've gone a year, 2 years, 3 years. And I said, what's your major? What are you graduating in? I haven't decided yet. I was like, dude, you've been in school for 3 years. Your parents are paying $30,000, $40,000 more a year. Or they're going into that paying for you. You haven't decided yet? Yeah, I'm just kind of exploring my options. That's أَكْلُ الْمَالِ بِالْبَاطِلِ. That's purposeless. That's wasting the wealth of your parents, the time, labor, and sweat they put into it. And then you decide, and then you say, I really want to do this major. And then you graduate. And when you graduate, I don't feel like doing this. I don't like this field. You had 4 years to not like this field. Now you decide you don't like this field. After all that money that was spent, all that investment that was spent, well, I just don't feel like it. Well, that's actually, this is batil. This is wasteful. And this, when this is done, you would think the ayah is only talking about criminal activity, right? But this is in a sense also criminal activity. This isn't right to take hard-earned money among each other and to use it in this frivolous sense. Another way, batil, and by the way, Allah will describe it later on in the ayah, إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَن تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ. Unless the only way you can consume each other's money is if there's a trade in which both sides are رَاضِي عَنْ تَرَاضٍ مِنْكُمْ. تَرَاضِي means I'm happy with what I spent, and the other is happy also with what was spent on them. They're both content. What happens, and that's the formula. Allah has told us, essentially, when we are spending and spending money within each other, if one of the sides is not happy, this is not a fair trade. So if you're forcing somebody to spend money, blackmailing somebody to spend money, guilting somebody to spend money, if you're saying, if you don't give me this money, I'm going to do this, 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 and this to you. That's not tarad. That becomes batil. That becomes falsehood. That becomes evil. Right? And so that's the second meaning of batil. To ask for funds or to ask for money or to take money, that's not justifiably yours. People do that at work. you know, you have a job, and so sometimes you have cushy jobs. You have jobs where nobody's watching over you, right? Your employer just trusts you that they've given you a full-time job. You're going to do your 40 hours or whatever tasks you're going to do, and they don't watch over you all day. So you're like, ah, you know, my boss isn't even here. I'm going to take a three-hour lunch break. Or you'll just call and say, hey, boss, I'm just going to work from home. Is that okay? Yeah, that's okay. And you're just sleeping at home, getting paid to sleep. And then when he calls and checks on you, oh, sorry, boss, I was in a meeting. Really? You were in a meeting? Because not with me. So who were you talking to, the president? Is that? Because I know he's got a lot of free time nowadays. So must be him. But then, and then later on, you say, well, the project's been delayed because there's a lot of complications. The complications are you're sleeping. That's the complication. Right? And you're very happy with this job. And you can, you know, you can sell yourself. You can use all the right words to tell your employer, tell your client or whoever else that you know what you're talking about. And this is how long it takes. This is all batil. All of that is batil. لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل. I'll tell you a silly little story. I wrote about it some time ago. I was at a grocery store and, I bought the groceries and I'm leaving. And, you know, I forgot to take one thing out of the cart. It was like this little vegetable thing. I didn't take it out of the cart, so they didn't charge me. So everything else is in the bags, and this thing is not in a bag. And I'm like, oh, I didn't pay for this. So I go back to give it to the guy and say, hey, can you charge me for this, please? Because you guys let me go, and this was not paid for. And it was late at night. The store's close to closing, and they're busy doing all this other stuff. And the thing happened to be that it didn't have the price scan on it. Right, so now the guy's got to go find where it's from and scan it and do a price check. I felt like the old grandma that holds up everybody else in the aisle, you know. But I had to do what I had to do. So I'm like, and I really need those vegetables. So the guy waits 5 minutes. You know what? Just take it. He tells me, you know what? Just take it. And for a second, I thought, yeah, okay. But then I said, wait, hold on. You work here. You don't own this store. That's not your product. You don't have the right to tell me to take it for free because it's not yours. You're just telling me to take it and walk away? Why? Based on what? You don't have that right. That would be batil on his part and batil on my part. لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل. So what happens sometimes, employees, when they're not being watched, they start giving away discounts. Oh yeah, you can go in for free. It's okay. I got a hookup at this place. They let me get in for free. Or I got this place, they give me a discount. When you get an employee discount, who is that meant for? Yourself. And there's an agreement between you and your employer. This is one of its benefits. When you misuse that and give it to other people, and you are causing a loss to your employer, what are you doing? That's batil. Because you're using it falsely. That wasn't what it was meant for. That was a benefit for you, not for anybody else. So these are the things we have to become conscious of. These are unethical practices that Allah doesn't want happening in society. لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل. And to not to think, then of course batil also means that you consume, but you don't acknowledge. So you falsely, you take, and then you say, well, you haven't done anything for me. What have you done for me? You know? Entitlement, false entitlement. That's also a kind of batil. To tell yourself that you're worthy or deserving of something that you haven't worked for. To ask for things you haven't worked for, you know. And so with all of that, Allah Azza wa Jal says, the formula is, إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَن تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ. What does that mean? That means unless it's a trade in which both parties are what? Content. What is it? So some of you that are sitting here listening to this are like, well, I mean, I do work at my office, but right now there's not a lot of work. So I have 3 hours sitting at my desk. So am I like, should I report this or what? Yeah, you should talk to your manager or your supervisor or the employer himself, the business owner himself, and say, look, right now there's not a lot of work. And I feel like I'm sitting here not earning my paycheck. Is that okay with you? And if he says it's okay with me, then there's tarad. Then you're both in agreement. Yeah, you know what? There's not a lot of work. Don't worry about it. Right now, I know you don't have full-time tasks, but that's okay. Just do these other side tasks if you want or whatever. There's some free time. But there's agreement now. There's both parties know and both parties are content with what's happening. So having transparency in your job, having, you know, for those of you that go to school and your parents are paying for your tuition, when you're skipping a class, guess what? You're stealing your parents' money. That's batil. Every time you're skipping out a class, you didn't pay for that tuition. You didn't do that. That would be batil. I used to have students that would come here who couldn't afford the Dream program, and they would be sponsored by their community. Like somebody would say, you know what, I really want the young people in my community in Wisconsin, or my community in Ohio, or my community somewhere else, I want the young people to learn something. So I'm going to sponsor you to go, because you're a college student yourself, you can't afford the tuition, we'll pay your tuition, we'll send you off over here. And this young man, this young woman, they come here and they study. And when they're coming and studying, they start missing classes, waking up late. I'm like, you are not on your time. You are on your community's time. They paid for you. You better do everything you can to study. Anybody else can fall asleep in class, I don't care. You can't. Because you came here on somebody else's amana. Somebody else paid for you. Somebody else took care of you. And they trusted that you will give this your very, very best. That's why they gave you this position. That's why they gave you this opportunity. Do you understand how that works? When somebody gets a scholarship, you say, oh, I got a scholarship. I'm going to use some of that to buy new shoes. No, that's not why they gave you a scholarship to go buy new shoes. There's a purpose for which the funds were given, you know? So this aklul maal bil batil is something you have to look for in every part of your life, in every part of my life. When people are filing their taxes and wrongful information, yeah, let's put everything as an expense. Save ourselves money. Be honest about what you spend. Be honest about where the money comes in from and where it goes, you know? And so Allah says, إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ عَن تِجَارَةً عَن تَرَادٍ مِّنْكُمْ. And then what is he at immediately after? وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. And don't kill each other. Don't kill yourselves. What does one have to do with the other? We were just talking about swindling money, or using monies falsely, or frivolously spending each other's money, being reckless with other people's money, whether it's your employer's money, whether it's your parents' money, your family's money, inheritance money, whatever it may be. All of a sudden, don't kill each other. Allah Azza wa Jalla is showing us the profound connection between these two things. You know, the one who works hard to earn is literally killing themselves every day. They're giving up a part of their life every day to earn whatever it is that they're earning. And you're literally slowly killing them by doing what you're doing. And on top of that, when these kinds of crimes become common in a society, then the next step is when you don't consider somebody else's wealth, then the next thing is you don't consider their life either. So when financial crimes increase in a society, then you'll see murder also increase in society. Those two things go hand in hand. Economic crimes and then capital crimes. They're tied to each other. That's the nature of this world. You know, so many terrible crimes happen because somebody feels they were robbed by somebody else. Or they want their money, or they want their property, and you know, these kinds of underhanded dealings. So Allah says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't kill each other. That's what it's going to lead to. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. Allah has always been merciful to you. But you know what fascinates me about this ayah? In the previous ayah, Allah said, and I'm going to conclude with this. In the previous ayah, Allah said, Allah wants to lighten your burden. If you remember, I told you that. Allah wants to make things lighter for you. So He's telling you to be this way with your money and telling me to be this way with my money because He wants things to be easier for us. In other words, if we don't practice this, Allah will make life difficult. Somebody steals money, somebody takes somebody else's money wrongfully and thinks they got away with it. They think that their life became easier because now they have this money that they didn't deserve. But I can guarantee you, Allah intends ease through honesty. And Allah will only bring difficulty to those who earn money in the wrong way. They think that money is going to make them wealthy. They're going to get the kind of disease that no doctor can fix. And all that money is going to go into a hospital bed. And they won't even know where that came from. They won't even know. They bought a new luxury car and over somebody else's tears and blood, and they're driving it, and the next thing you know, a truck. You're not going to enjoy the money that you got from falsehood. And even if you get away with it here, فَسَوْفَ نُسْلِيهِ نَارًا in the next ayah. And they're going to be thrown into the fire anyway. All of that is going to enter into the fire. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from it. And so what does Allah do? He tells us in the next ayah, and this is what I conclude with, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ. If you can stay away from the major, major sins that you have been prohibited from. If you can, Allah is not, you know, we sin all the time. Little sins happen all the time, but Allah is saying, if you can stay away from the major crimes, the major, major crimes, نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. Then we'll bury away the other sins you've done. If you can get away from the big sins, I'll overlook the little ones. But you know, the big sins are several, right? There's some major sins. Shirk is a major sin, murder is a major sin, etc., etc. But of these, which one did He actually list? Right before, even when he mentioned big sins, right before that he mentioned, لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Which means it should tell you and me the value, the seriousness of financial matters, that of all the major sins, he didn't condemn shirk in these ayat. He didn't, and even when he condemned murder, that was item number two, not even item number one. That is one of the kaba'ir. Killing each other is one of the major sins. But that was mentioned as item number two. Item number one was financial irregularity, financial mishandling, irresponsibility with money, taking each other's money, denying inheritance. That's, he says, if you can stay away from that, I'll forgive the rest. نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. We'll enter you into a gracious, a noble place, a place where you'll be honored. And that's another hint from Allah, that people who don't do this, who don't practice this, will have no honor in their life. Allah will take their honor away. Because the reward for doing this is to have karam. نُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. The other way, you won't have any dignity and any honor. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us honorable people in the way that we earn our money, in the way that we spend our money. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us of those who don't use any form of falsehood or frivolousness with somebody else's trust given to us and the amana given to us. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us responsible parents that raise children, that understand the value of hard-earned and permissibly earned income, and to spend it in ways that is pleasing to Allah and not displeasing to Him. Barakallahu li wa lakum fi القرآن الحكيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم